Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message. So this morning, I wanted to start out just by sharing something we've been talking about, praying in these different situations that go throughout life. And it's really fitting as we come to today, talking about a little bit about what I've been going through this last year. See, this last year, I've been struggling in an area of depression. It's something that every now and then has popped up, and before you get concerned, it's nothing like no suicidal thoughts or anything like that, so you don't need to worry that way. But it's just this place where I get into a dark and somber, melancholy area, and that's something that I've been wrestling with for the past year and a half here, different situations going on that have just really pushed me, stressed me, and brought me to that place. Now, why do I tell you that? I tell you that for a reason. This last month here, as I was taking a course, I was presented with an assignment that I had to do. And the assignment was that I had to write what's called a song or a prayer of lament. And as I looked at the assignment, I thought, this is the dumbest assignment that I've ever seen in my life. Why do I have to write? I don't want to do that. You know, and remember, some of this is probably depression speaking. Like, what's the point? You know, this just seems lame. I don't want to have to share something like this later on. And this, like, why? And so as I began to gather things, I figured, well, you know what? The best way to write a good lament or to be able to write anything like this is, let's look at what the last year has been. And so I began to pull out my journal from the last few months and the last year. And what I came to realize as I was flipping through my journal is I had already been doing this. I had been pouring out my heart to God and calling out to him and going like, what's going on here? And what I realized is that I'd been going through this whole process for this whole amount of time, and in the moments where I was in the darkest place, where I felt the most alone, whatever it was, when I would cry out to God in my journal, I found that those were the moments where I experienced the most healing and the most relief. It was an amazing thing, an amazing realization, and the process of writing this lament that I wrote was a good thing for me. Now, I realize not all of us struggle with things like depression. But I do think, and in fact I know, that all of us have various seasons in our lives, have had and will have, maybe are even having right now, where things are difficult. Where not all is well with our soul. Or where we have struggles. I would call these times in our lives those baseball bat to the face moments, where we're going through life and it just feels like life wound up and gave us one. And we're knocked to our knees, we're knocked flat on our back, and we're wondering, what just went on? Why am I like this? And in these situations, when we come to these places where we've been knocked down, where we've been beaten up, we often have these two default modes that we go into. The first one is that we complain. We just run around and we complain. Can you believe that life is so horrible? Like, it's Eeyore, right? Oh yeah, nothing's good. Everything's bad. But it's all right, I guess. And that's just becomes our mood, or we become that whiny little kid, right? Like, oh, I don't want to have to. Why do I have to go through these things? It's no good. The other default mode that we get into, and I think for some of us, maybe we get into this because of our North American culture that says that, you just got to man up, you got to be tough. Maybe it's because of our church culture that says, you know what, if you serve Jesus, you need to be happy all the time. You need to feel good all the time. How dare you have bad thoughts? And so because of this shame or whatever it may be, we begin to bury our feelings, our emotions, our struggles deep within ourselves. And we try to hide them from the world so that nobody can see. We bottle them up. But what we find is that neither of these default modes, neither of these behaviors are truly healthy for us. When you're constantly complaining, what is that a sign of? Constant complaining is a sign that you haven't dealt with the issues at hand, that they're still coming back over and over and over again. Not only that, but when you are constantly complaining, those that are around you, their attitudes are poisoned. And either they begin to complain as well, or they decide, you know what, I don't want to be around that person anymore. Bottling it up is also not good. How many of you are familiar with that idea of the person that just pushes everything down for so long that eventually they just can't hold it in anymore and they just explode? Right? They just blow up. And God save the person that's in front of them when they do, right? Yeah. One study conducted by psychologists from the Harvard School of Public Health and from the University of Rochester found that suppressing emotions, in other words, bottling up your emotions, may increase the risk of dying from heart disease and certain forms of cancer. There is a physiological damage that goes on when we bottle up how we feel, when we press it down, when we try to hide it. And so this raises a question for us all. What do we do? What can we do? As followers of Jesus, what should we do when we reach these baseball bat in the face moments? Well, I want to share with you today that we have the fortune of knowing God has shown us how we can address him in the book of the Bible called the Psalms. And we started talking about this last week, how in the Psalms we're given a prayer for every situation. A prayer for every situation. Last week, we talked about songs of trust, prayers of trust. And then there's this progression. See, prayers of trust, we talked about, are in this place where we see the difficult things and we know that there's rough stuff going on. We know that we need to trust God. And so we say, God, this is the stuff that's going on. This is why I trust you. I trust you, Lord God. Help me through this. But see, that's before the baseball bat hits you. When the baseball bat hits you, then it's time for these prayers of lament, these prayers where we say, God, I don't get it. God, where are you in this? What's going on? And as we move beyond these, we'll see that there's also prayers for those seasons where we're in a place of thanksgiving. And there's prayers for that place where we're in a season of praise and saying, God is great and so amazing. And so today what I want you to do is I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 22. If you have a mobile device here today, you can go to abundantsprings.church/notes, and that will bring up a thing. You just tap today's date, and it will open up today's notes for you. You can follow along in there. If you've got the YouVersion app on your phone, it'll actually open that up right to the place that you need to be. So that's abundantsprings.church/notes. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation today. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him." Move down to verse 19 here. O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of these wild oxen. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. Now you'll notice that I skipped around a little bit in there, and there's a reason for that. It's really, really long. And we didn't need to get into it there, so I gave you just kind of a taste of how the progression of this lament goes. But look at that for a second. If you've got your Bible or your YouVersion app or whatever you've got open right now, open to that passage, look at that again. And look at the emotion in this. I mean, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Where are you, God? I'm surrounded. They're putting me down. What good am I? I'm a worm of a man. What I think is interesting in this rawness, this display of emotion, is that in the midst of it, he kind of calls God out. He says, God, where are you? What's going on here? Don't you care about me, God? And in us, in our pious Christian ways, we might think, well, I can't believe that God put up with that. I mean, I wonder what God did to him because he said something like that. That's a lack of faith and trust right there in God. And yet, what do we see? We see that God's not afraid or turned off by someone expressing, God, I feel like you've left me. Where are you? Why aren't you helping me, God? Why can't I see you at work in this situation right now? God's not afraid of us expressing these things. He's not mad at us for expressing these things. Here's what I want you to know today is that God already knows what you're thinking. Now you're just laying it out on the table. God already knows. Nothing's hidden from him. Instead, you're just being honest with him now. And see, that's what a lament is. A lament is when you come before God and you're just honest with him about all the crap that's going on in your life. All the stuff that's pushing you down, knocking you down. It's coming to a place where you realize you can't do it anymore and you turn to God and you say, God, what's up? Why are you letting all this stuff happen to me? Don't you see the situations that I'm going through? Don't you see the rough stuff in my life? Won't you help me, God? And see, the principle of beginning to pray prayers of lament can be summed up in this way. When you're no longer able, lay it on the table. When you're no longer able, lay it on the table. I made this really easy for you to remember because it rhymes, okay? When you're no longer able, lay it on the table. Why don't you say that with me? When you're no longer able, lay it on the table. What do I mean by that? I mean that when you get to this place where you just can't do it anymore, just be honest, lay the cards on the table and say, God, this is what's going on. This is how I feel. This is the stuff that's just beating me down. This is what I want you to do, Lord. Where are you in this? And I think that this is really important for us to remember because so often, like I say, our default is to either just complain and complain and complain to all of our friends and in ourselves and just get bitter or bottle it all up and ignore it until one day we explode. But when we get to this place where we recognize, I'm not able to do this on my own. I can't keep on going this way. And we just lay it all on the table and say, God, here, take it. That's a powerful thing. So you must do this. When you're no longer able, lay it on the table. And at the end of today's message, I'm going to challenge you to do this. I'm going to challenge you that when you go home, I want you to remember and act on this, that when you're no longer able, you're going to lay it on the table before God. And what I think is that you're going to find it very freeing as you begin to express thoughts and feelings that you may have never told anyone before. You may never have even spoken these things out loud. You might think, if I say those words, then God's going to curse me. You know what? You may just have a line of curse words in your head that have been rolling around there and delving into your soul because things have been going on so difficultly. And I just want to tell you that God already knows that you're doing it.
So get out a piece of paper and begin to express those things to him. God, just be honest with him. Be real with him. Stop trying to put on a mask before God because he sees right through it and he just rolls his eyes and says, really? Don't you trust me enough? Isn't our relationship deep enough where you can just take off the pretense and truly in your heart just bear yourself to me? So let's go over what a lament looks like. What are the elements of a lament? And not every lament looks this way, but these are some of the things that we can do to put together a lament. The first thing is that there's an opening address, right? So in this one, it's, my God, my God, I'm calling out to you. Right? That's simple, right? We can all do that, right? Like, God, I'm here. Right? That's the opening address. Hello! The second element of a lament is the complaint. So this is the great part where for all of you complainers out there, you actually get to do it. Just complain. Complain loud. Complain long. Whatever you need to do. For those of you that bottle it up, this might be a little bit harder because this is where you have to take the cork out of the bottle and you have to actually say, okay, now I'm going to complain. I'm going to let it all out on God. Don't hold anything back. Just put it all out there. The next element of it is a confession of trust. And we saw that here where he says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. See, even in the midst of our difficult situations, we can go back to what we talked about last week. And if you didn't weren't here last week, go online and listen to that message. Because I think it's important that we learn to express our trust in God. And even in these places where we've had that baseball bat in the face moment and we're laying on the ground and we're offering this complaint to God, we still need to be able to say, but God, you know what? I trust you. I really do. I trust you, God. And then if you want, you can go back to complaining. I trust you, God, but seriously. The next element is the petition for help. See, the trusting component of this, and then this petition for help, these are the places where we differentiate between just complaining and lamenting. Because in a lament, we say, God, I trust you. And then we say, God, help me. This is what I want you to do. We see that here, right? He says, O Lord, do not stay far away. Verse 19, you are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of these wild oxen. He's like, here's my complaint. I trust in you. I'm going to complain again for a long time. But Lord, this is what I want you to do. This is what I need you to do, God. And then we see that after the opening address, after the complaint and the confession of trust and the petition for help, we see the vow of praise. We see the vow of praise. Now, some of us, we might think this sounds like bargaining with God, right? God, if you do this, then I promise I'm going to do this, this, and this. Please. And so I would recommend that your vow of praise does not include giving up things that you have no intention of giving up. You know, God, I promise that I'll go to church every single Sunday and I'll find a church that also has a Wednesday service and I'll go to Bible study and I'll go to prayer if you do this thing and get me through it. Because you know good and well that you're going to get through it. You're going to go, oh, that's awesome. And then you're just going to go on with life. But look at what the psalmist does. He says, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. There's one more element of a lament that's not in your notes, and that's this. We talked about it last week. You need to be honest. Okay, you need to be honest. Don't hold things back. Remember, when you're no longer able, lay it on the table. Now, see, I think that if you're talking in cards anyways, if you're supposed to come to that place where you lay it all on the table and you keep something under the table, that's called cheating. Right? So when you're no longer able, just lay it on the table for God to take. He can handle it. Right? He can handle it. So be honest. And folks, that's how you lament. Is you address God, you complain and complain and complain. You confess your trust, you give a petition for help, and you vow to praise Him. Now, I don't want you to think that as you look at this, where you go, oh, but Pastor Stephen, I mean, you were writing about this in your journal. That's easy for you. This just comes naturally. You're saying that I'm a natural complainer? Come on, guys. But in all seriousness, when I tell you that when you're no longer able to lay it on the table, I'm not telling you to do something that I've never done. I'm not telling you to do something that I'm not willing to do. This is something that has helped me, that continues to help me. And I want to encourage you today that you don't just give up on this stuff, that you don't leave here today and crumple up the notes and throw it away, or if you're using YouVersion, that you say, you know what, I'm not going to hit that save button. Hit the save button. Come back to it in those seasons of difficulty. Come back to it this week as you think back on things like we're going to talk about in a moment here. But I want you to know we all go through these difficult seasons of life, and we all can benefit from laying it on the table. I want you to think for just a moment, how would it change our lives if we stopped hiding our hurts? How would it change our lives if we stopped running around saying, I'm okay. How are you this week? I'm good. Right? What if we asked ourselves that? If we became kind of like the Wesleyans and we asked one another, or we even asked ourselves, how is it with your soul? And we answered honestly. What would happen if we expressed even our darkest thoughts to God? If we were totally open to Him, exposing everything to the light of Jesus Christ? How would that change our life? How would that change the lives of the people around us if we became open to God? How would that change our relationship with God if instead of really paying Him the insult of saying, I don't think that you know what's going on and you wouldn't accept me if I told you, and instead recognize that God sent His Son for you? Right? He experienced death for you. He rose victorious for you. So how much of an insult, a slap in the face of God, is it to say, God, you can't handle the stuff going on in here. You can't handle what's going on in here right now. Instead, maybe we just need to be honest with Him. So when you're no longer able, lay it on the table. And so let me share with you what I shared with my class. This is my assignment that I wrote. My Father, what shall I do? What can I do? How can I peel myself from this dark place? How can I put down this monster that has laid roots within me? Why do you not help me? Why is there no escape? Why have you allowed this weight to come upon my mind? It seems like you have abandoned me in this situation. And yet I know that you can use anything for your glory. And I know that you use these moments to teach. In the darkest moments, I know you are always with me. Help me, Lord. Rescue me from this inner beast. Satisfy my soul, Father. Holy Spirit, fill me and renew me. You are my only hope and salvation, Jesus. You are my King. In these moments and every other, I surrender to you. Let me be yours and root out the evil within me. Help me, I confess all to you. Make me new, break me, and use me. And may the name of Jesus Christ be glorified in me. Amen. See, this lament is how I laid it all on the table before God. And it and other prayers like it have helped me through the dark moments of my life, even if I didn't really recognize that I was lamenting before God. And so here's what I want to extend to you today. And that is that this is an important action. I know that oftentimes those of us that go to churches that are Pentecostal, we like to stay happy. We like to dance around. We like to sing. We like to praise. These are great things, but there are moments in life where we just need to cry. Where we need to let God into our hurt, into our pain. And so here's what I want you to do this week. When you're no longer able, lay it on the table. Think of a situation this week when everything went wrong. Maybe it's in the past, maybe it's right now. And lay it all on the table before God. Tell Jesus how it is that you feel and then leave it in his hands. Say, this is for you, God. I can't do this anymore without you, God. I need you here, God. And can I encourage you today? I know that I say when you're no longer able, lay it on the table. But there comes a point in time where maybe you realize that it's even better to lay it on the table when you think you're able. Tough times come and I can handle this. And we keep on marching along, and it's not until that baseball bat makes contact with our nose that we realize that maybe, just maybe, we need God. So maybe, just maybe, when we get into these difficult situations, we can begin to pray those prayers of trust. And then when we get into it, we can begin to pray these prayers of lament. And I want to encourage you all, because in this cycle of life, what we see is that, yes, we pray prayers of trust, we pray prayers of lament, but then eventually we come out the other side. And that's when we have the opportunity to begin to pray prayers of thanksgiving. And as we go through life and we recognize the great and glorious things that our King Jesus Christ has done for us, we pray prayers and sing songs of praise. And so don't think that if you're in a period of lament, that lament is all that there is. For you, maybe right now it feels like that's all there is. But remember, part of a lament is saying that you trust in God and that you're going to praise him when it's all over. So that's what we're going to talk about next week and the week after, is that prayer of thanksgiving and the prayer of praise. And so will you join me all this morning as we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. And I thank you that really you already know what we're going to say before we say it, and that you just so desire to hear it from us. That you so desire for us to bear our hearts to you willingly. And so as we talked about a number of weeks ago, Lord God, I ask that we won't stop praying those prayers of search me and break me and send me. But Lord, that we'll also have the courage to pray prayers of trust and to pray prayers of lament when things are just difficult, when they're rough. And help us to see you in those moments, Lord God. Help us to remember that your Holy Spirit, as we follow you, is within our hearts. And is helping us and giving us the strength as we move forward. Praise you, Jesus.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So, God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master, and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me.
Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship. I'd love to help you with that, so if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.